Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
God is so interesting because he speaks to me in these like patterns and things. And you know, the gospel, there's four gospels, right? And they have different representations. You know, there's the angel, there's the ox, there's the lion. And what's the last one? No, it's not the lamb. Anyway, so San Marcos, the city that we're in, St. Mark, is represented as a lion. And so we're in the representation of the lion at this campus. And we have a campus pastor that loves very few things more than he loves lions. I would say that maybe his wife and God are the only two things that he loves more than lions. So it's interesting, but but you know, I'm standing on this stage, and when they were building this stage, you know, Pastor Summer will tell you, you know, this thing is like 4 feet thick and it's, you know, 150 feet long and it's heavy. And when they were pouring the concrete, they had to drill down to put the footings in, and water starts coming out because there is a river that's flowing underneath the stage. And it goes from the east to the west. And so there's river that's flowing under here that was not mapped, that they didn't know about. Just like Jesus said, come all to me who are thirsty and I'll give you living water. And those that believe in me, that out of his heart will pour rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, and it will separate you, your transgression, your sin, your humanness, as far as the, from the, you're in the right place tonight. There's a special touch on this this building, and you know, it was earmarked to be a church, and you just see time and time again, there's things that just line up biblically with the positioning of this campus, and you know, so you're in the right place tonight. So I was wrestling with God quite a bit over tonight's message. Tonight's message is the message that I never wanted to give, and so you know, I'm like, Lord, you know, it's Holy Week. We're gonna celebrate on Sunday the greatest event in human history outside of creation itself, when Jesus rises from the grave. Can I get an amen? So here we are, Holy Week, and I'm like, Lord, this is an important week. What do you want me to share with your people? And he says, Revelation chapter 12. And I say, well, I know. They start laughing. I go, that's pretty intense. But he says, okay, well, let's check out verse 11. And they, the believers, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to the death. And I go, okay. So Holy Spirit goes, you see the three things? I said, I see the three things. Yeah, I see them. And he goes, well, you only got two of them. And I go, why are you always right, Holy Spirit? I have blood of the Lamb, given my life to the Lord. I've submitted entirely to him. Don't love my life to the death, as they would say in that scripture. But I'm missing the middle piece to share the testimony. And so I said, okay, does that mean I don't have full victory? And he goes, you have said so. And I'm like, dang it. So tonight's the night I get to share, you know, as Pastor Alex was saying, you know, when I came to this church, I was a broken mess. It was a broken mess. And, you know, the guy that you see now is not the guy that I was. You know, a lot of people now, they're like, oh, Dr. Denny, you know, he's kind of intense, you know, with his faith. And you're going to find out why I'm intense with my faith. Because the enemy stole something from me. And when I found out that he stole something from me, it's time to make him pay back. Because the Lord says that he has to pay that back. So it's interesting because I had a deliverance that took place about 6 or 7 years ago that was completely unexpected. Completely unexpected. I was showing up to men's prayer, experiencing a lot of anxiety, and this thing just kind of happened to me. But in order to tell you about that, I need to back up to a repressed memory that took place for 40 years. It was repressed. Happened when I was 6 years old. And then at my deliverance at 45, 46 years old, I'm 51 now, so it was about 6, 7 years ago. But after that happened, I had this memory that came back. So imagine I'm 5.5, 6 years old and I have this dream and I find myself in this field, this empty field, and it's in the middle of the night, a cold winter night, completely black other than the moon that's shining, and there's this tall grass in there, and as the wind blows through it, it kind of makes it look like the surface of the ocean, right? And then something starts rustling around in the grass, and as it gets closer to me, my heart starts racing. And the closer it gets, the faster my heart starts racing. Until it gets up, and I can't see it. It's just hiding behind the grass. But as it gets close to me, I realize the only way I can describe it to you guys is pure fear. Just pure fear. And so my six-year-old self, I turn around, and I start running through the grass. And I get some clearing, and I just take off, and I bolt. And I run until my lungs burn, and my blood boils. And then I get to the end, and I get to this cliff. And as far as I can look, on both sides, there's a cliff. There's nowhere to go. It's just black abyss. But here, this fear, it finds me again. Circling around in the grass, can't see it. Tempting me to jump. The only thing I can think to do at 6 years old is to scream as loud as I can. And when I do, I wake up and I'm in my bed, empty bladder, soaking wet. My eyes focus and I see at the foot of my bed, there's a demon standing there. Big mangled head, blood red eyes. Doesn't say anything, just stares at me. And I remember I just closed my eyes and I said, just go away, I'll do anything, just go away. And when I said those three words, poof, it disappeared. I'll do anything. And by accident, I had made agreement with this thing. And it didn't actually disappear, it actually attached itself to me. And I said, you know, when I said, I'll do anything, it said, you're right, you will. You'll do exactly what I say. And so off I go into elementary school, and, you know, and I look like a normal kid, you know, blonde hair, blue-eyed kid, growing up in Encinitas. You know, I play soccer, I got lots of friends, I got toys, I got, you know, I got everything that I needed, it looked like. I mean, I was wearing checkered Vans slip-ons. I mean, you know, I was cool. Playing soccer. So everything on the outside looked good, but on the inside, I had this pit in my stomach all the time. Now, it's not like I was walking around sucking my thumb. I mean, I could talk to people and have conversations with people, but if you asked me to do something like this, where I got to come and stand up and do something, that thing would cinch me down, and I couldn't say anything. So I was, like, scared to talk to girls. I was scared of getting beat up. I was scared of the dark, you know, because if I went in the dark again, that thing might come back, you know, causing me to wet the bed, a problem that followed me all the way into high school. Imagine what that does to a boy's self-esteem. So I go cruising along through school, and by the time I'm 11 years old, I start smoking cigarettes. 11 years old. It's shocking to me how young this story begins. Shortly thereafter, I start smoking pot, weed, for you old folks, marijuana. Marijuana. 11 years old. And that goes on for a while, long enough to where my mom, you know, she had enough and she throws me in rehab. Well, I shouldn't say she throws me. She takes me to rehab. She places me gently into rehab at 12 years old. 12 years old. And I mean, at that time, I think I was in everything. I think I was in AA. I was in Al-Anon. I was in Alateen. I was in rehab. I was seeing a psychiatrist. I mean, you name it, anything that she could do to help me, I was doing. But I remember, you know, being in a psychiatrist's office, and I'd sit there for an hour, and I wouldn't say a word to him, like nothing. The guy would just ask me questions, and I just would say nothing. Like every single time I was with this man, I never said anything. He tried to take me outside, go for a walk, nothing. I wouldn't say a word. That thing inside me, like, I'm going to talk to you. Why would I talk to you? What are you going to do for me? Just this element of fear and anger was just brewing inside me from this thing. Yeah. So off I go, you know, get into eighth grade. And at eighth grade, I think I was out of rehab by then, but nothing really changed. I was still hanging around with the same people, still putting chemicals in my body that shouldn't be there. You know, still trying to smoke cigarettes like as a kid. It's just strange to think about. But when I was in the eighth grade, that was the first memory that I have of God's hand on my life. And I remember being at lunch one day with some friends. And, you know, they happen to be cholos, if you know what cholos are, right? Cholos are like, you know, Mexican-Americans. They're born here, but they're like gang members, but we're in eighth grade, so they're not in the gang yet. But these are the kind of people that I hung out with. It's gangbangers, I guess. So, orale. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to start getting it. So these are my friends. Hey, my friend. Oh, yeah. Tortilla Flats, Encinitas, you know? What's up? What's up? So one of my friends had a cross tattoo on his hand. And I go, oh, that looks pretty cool. And mind you, I didn't grow up going to church. Like, Jesus to me was like an expression. You know, like, Jesus, it's a nice day today. You know, Jesus, it's cold in here. You know, Jesus, that's a nice car. It was like an expression, but at least I was saying the name, I suppose, right? Probably got his attention just by saying the name. But I'm sitting at lunch one day, and I say, oh, that's a cool tattoo. And he goes, well, you want one? I'm like, okay. So he pulls out some ink, grabs his needle, ties a string around it, and proceeds to give me a stick and poke tattoo right on my right hand. But of course, 5 minutes later, the bell rings, and we got to go back to class. So I have like this thin outline of a cross on my right hand. Kind of funny. I was marked. The Lord marked me that day. No doubt about it. Psalm 91 was activated that day in my life. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. You may look with your eyes at the wicked, but it's not going to come near you. And as I head into high school in this terrible lifestyle that I had created for myself, when I see a friend that commits suicide, another friend that overdoses on heroin, another friend that gets in a car wreck and has brain damage, and all of this stuff in my close circle, none of it touched me. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. So I head into high school in 10th grade, and I'm just like a mess, man. I'm just a mess. Still wet in the bed because of fear at night. Using drugs on a regular basis. Started chewing tobacco because I could hide it really good. Something that thing told me to do is to hide stuff. And I roll into 10th grade with all of this stuff. And my poor mom, she's probably just like throwing a Hail Mary. Like, hey, I will buy you a car when you turn 16 if you'll get straight A's. And I'm like a D student and I hate school at this point. And I'm a doctor now. But this is what changed things. It's a mom that cared enough that just threw a Hail Mary and said, just get straight A's and I'll buy you a brand new car when you get your license. And I go, I don't even know if I can do that. I had such bad test anxiety. It's not like I was dumb. I had so much fear brewing inside me. I had this test anxiety. Anytime I sat down to take a test, I just couldn't do it. It was like standing on stage. It was like the equivalent of that. You know, you stand up and you just go like freeze. That's what would happen when I would take tests. So I had to study enough to figure out a way around that. And at the end of that school year, I ended up with 5 A's and 1 B. Flipping math. Math! Which is funny because now God speaks to me in patterns and numbers, and it's like he's got a sense of humor. But I get 5 A's and 1 B, so she says, no deal. Deal with straight A's. And she said, just kidding. I'll get you a used car, but you have to maintain the 3.5 to keep it. And so I go, okay, I'll do it. And as a result, now I'm studying. I can't hang out with, like, drug addicts and drug dealers and cholos. No offense. You know, so now you're hanging around with people that you've got to ask, like, hey, what's the answer to the test? So you got to hang around with people that are, like, studying and want to go to college and talking about a future. And so my life started to pivot and to change. So ultimately, I end up getting in a car wreck around 11th, 12th grade, thanks to my mom buying me the car. But because she bought me that car and I got in a car wreck, I ended up in a chiropractor's office. And because I ended up in a chiropractor's office, he starts adjusting my low back. And for the first time in my life, at 16, almost 17 years old, I start waking up in a dry bed. And because chiropractic did that for me, somehow it broke that piece off of me, restored neurologic function to that area of my body. That's what I wanted to do with my life. So now I had a carrot on a stick to keep studying and keep getting better and better. So I go off to university, and then I end up, you know, I go to UC Santa Cruz, and then I end up going to chiropractic college. And, you know, when I'm in college, you know, I'm just a guy living in the world, just a kid living in the world, doing what college students do, you know, studying, getting your grades, but drinking on the weekends and looking at things you shouldn't be looking at on the computer at night, if you know what I mean. Still just stuffing my face with tobacco all the time, completely addicted to tobacco, nicotine. And at that point, because my friends had changed in high school, I wasn't using drugs anymore, so I kind of didn't have that. I never really liked the drugs. I just used it because I just was hanging around the wrong people. But as I get through college, it's just like my soul was just kind of eroding. It was like I had no point in life even, you know, other than the profession that I was going to go into. But everything else was dead inside. And I still had this fear that was just burning inside me all the time. Like, I was just scared all the time. But again, it's not like I'm walking around sucking my thumb, but it was just this underlying anxiety that I had no idea that I had because it was just so normal for me. It had just been with me for so long. So I graduate college, and I move back down here to start my first practice, my first business. And shocking, I can't get anybody to stick around. You know, it's like my business is just failing. Why? Because I'm living two lives. It's like Monday through Friday, here I am putting the tie on, like, look at me, the doctor. But then on the weekends, you know, I'm knocking back drinks, stuffing my face with tobacco, looking at pornography, all that kind of stuff. And so you can't live the two lives. You can't be double-minded, right? And so that manifested in just a failing business. And here I am like 5 years out of school, 4 or 5 years out of school, just with a failing business and having hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. Student loans are coming due. I owe everybody in my family money. And the weight and the pressure of it is just, it's crushing me. And so I'm self-medicating on the weekends. And then the inevitable happens. I'm at my friend Peter's house and having a backyard barbecue, and I end up, okay, I'll see you. I'm going home. Cruising down the Highway 78. Get lit up. Hey, bud, you're not going home tonight. You're coming with us. So this is 2005, and I hit my rock bottom. And I'm like, look at what I've done to my life. And see, and I don't know God. I'm just thinking, I got to figure out a way to fix this thing. Sure. Like, look at what I've done. Like, I'm just destroying, I'm squandering everything that I, every option that I have, because I'm just living this life that's just a disaster. But because of that thing that was inside me, I had no other way out, if you know what I mean. It was just like I was stuck in this thing. And so that happens, and then literally like a month later, Dr. Matt calls me up and goes, hey, let's go race some go-karts. I go, okay, let's go race some go-karts. We head down to K1 down here in Carlsbad. And that was like, I don't know, there's 10, 12 guys there. And it's the first men's night of what would become Awakened Church. So it's Pastor Jurgen. But nobody goes by pastor back then. It's just like, you know, there's Jurgen. Pete Tirado was there. Pastor Jesse was there. Or just Jesse at the time. He was there. Jeff. Yes, Jeff. There's a story behind Jeff. So we race a go-kart tonight, and I go, hey, I need some new friends. I need a restart. Like, where do you guys hang out? What do you guys do? And they go, well, we hang out at church. I'm like, church? Dr. Matt gives me that look like, yeah, I know you're watching. You give me that look. So that Sunday I went, and Pastor Jurgen preached a message that just ripped a hole in my heart. Gave me life to the Lord. Yeah. And I wish I could say that everything was perfect after that. Just angels came and just picked me up and just flew me home, laid me in this pillow of a bed. I wish I could say that. But everything did change because my soul was secure in heaven and the Holy Spirit was there with me. But I had a big mess to clean up. Big mess. But here's how amazing God is. 3 weeks later, 3 weeks later. I'm in Los Angeles at a seminar, financial seminar. I'm learning how to get my financial disaster of life in order. It's a three-day seminar. There's a couple thousand people there. And the third day of the seminar, it's like I see an angel. And it's like the sound disappears. It's like the Red Sea's part. You know, my hair's blowing in the wind. And then I see my beautiful bride, Carly. And of course, you know, then when the bliss goes, you know, blows over, then the enemy starts lying to me. She ain't gonna talk to you. You're a loser. How much debt do you got? Oh, you jamming that tobacco in your face still? Oh, you still looking at videos at night? She ain't gonna talk to you. Stinking liar. But 3 weeks earlier, I got a friend that whispered to me and said, you can do it. Go talk to her. I set her aside just for you. And I mustered every bit of courage that I had, and I went and I asked her for her phone number. And you know what she said to me? You know what she said? I'm not going to date anybody that's not a Christian. I'm like 3 weeks saved. I'm like, I'm your man. I mean, I'm reading Joel Osteen's book and everything. Come on. God is so good. Literally 3 weeks after I gave my life to him, he gave me her. And 10 months later, we were married by Pastor Jürgen. And we have the distinct honor and privilege of being the first couple to be married by Pastor Jürgen in Awakened Church. Yeah. And Dr. Matt and Pastor Michaela are close second. Which honestly, but first gets the blessing. First gets the blessing. And honestly, I don't care about the first, second thing, but God had to show me how to win. He had to show me how to win. So we get married, and then we're cruising along in church, but I'm still not fully engaged, right? It's like I'm going, and this isn't a judgment when I say this, but I used to sit in the back a lot, and I would come in late, and I'd have my arms crossed, kind of judging worship, and I'm just being honest, man. I would come in, I'd just be like, oh, like, when is this over? Let's get to the word. And then, you know, and then altar call would happen. I'd be like, I'm already saved, so I don't need to hear the altar call, so let's go. So I was kind of like coming late, leaving early. And, you know, and we would come a couple times a month. And then, you know, as time went on, we would go more and more. But still, I still had this financial disaster that I still had to piece together. You know, God had done some amazing things, but I still had a lot of work to do with his help, right? And without him, I could do none of it because he's just constantly guiding me and nudging me into the right circumstances. But I still had that thing inside me that just wouldn't allow me to say certain things and have certain conversations, and my business just still wasn't taking off. And so this goes on for longer than I'd like to admit, but it was a number of years. And ultimately, you know, then Emerge comes around. And the first few years of Emerge, I was the same thing. I'm like, you know, that's not for me. You know, oh, it's like, oh, yeah, all guys, you know, oh, tough guys, oh, flipping tires, push-ups in the snow, come on. And I'm like, that's not for me. That's like, you know, and here I am. It's like, it's not my thing. And Carly goes, what is your thing? Yep. And so I go, okay, fine. I'll go. So I go to Emerge, and I wish Pastor Jesse was here, because I go to Emerge, and Pastor Jesse, at the time, just Jesse, was my Emerge team captain. And of course, you know, I show up to Emerge just barely on time, because I'm still showing up to stuff late, and, you know, no personal integrity yet, or very little. And I show up to Emerge kind of late. Thursday evening, it's just about to start, and I show up, and Pastor Jesse throws a shirt at me. Come on, let's go. And we run into the tent. There's like, I don't know, 800 or 900 guys at this point. Emerge is 3,000 men now. But back then, it was like 900 guys. But we roll into the tent, and Pastor Jesse's standing on my right-hand side, and, you know, the worship starts, and just, boom, Eric Raftery comes out, and he's singing Big Daddy Weave, like, in his baritone voice. You know, he's got, "Who can stop the Lord Almighty?" And Pastor Jesse's just doing his thing. He's got both hands up, and he's just heart abandoned, just worshiping. And Acts chapter 16, boom, comes alive. Just comes alive. Where Paul and Silas are in prison. And they're in praise and worship. And the shackles break off of all the prisoners in there. And Pastor Jesse's worship broke something off of me. It's like the Holy Spirit just came and descended on him. And it just blew this dust right off of my heart. Yeah. Yeah. And for the first time in my life, I start praising and worshiping, like, in earnest. And when that happened, the Holy Spirit goes, "Finally, I can ignite in this guy now." Because Psalm 100, verse 2, "Come into his presence with singing." But until I could get myself out of the way and praise and worship, I was like, just coming to church. Just coming to church. So the Holy Spirit activates me. It's not like I got blown back. I didn't know. It just happened. I just go, "Man, that was awesome. That was fun." And I go home, and a couple days later, Carly goes, "You're different." And I'm like, "Yeah? How so?" "Never mind. Carry on. Carry on." She didn't want to blow that flame out. She didn't want to blow that flame out. Oh. But the Holy Spirit activated in me. And what I realized now that was different is now I wanted to come to church. I was engaged. I wanted to be here. I wanted to go, okay, how can I give my 10%? How can I give my tithe? How can I give offerings? How can I pour in? Like, how can I get into this church, not just be part of it, but be in it? How can I activate God more in my life? And Emerge did that for me. And I encourage you guys, it'll do the same for you. It'll do the same for you. Yeah. About 2 weeks after that Emerge, Dr. Matt starts men's prayer at Bressy Ranch campus. This campus didn't exist yet. We were just at Bressy. And I go, "Well, I got to go." So I show up. And I walk in there, and I got like 1,000 emotional wounds all over me. And I got all this pile of debt. I got all this stuff. It's getting better. But see, I never share this with anybody. Nothing. You know, for a bunch of years, I call it the FAC. I was the fake Christian. I was the fake donkey Christian, just showing up to church with the happy mask on. "All good? You guys good?" "Yeah, we're good." "Oh, that's good. It's good. Yeah, it's good. Life's good. You good? Woo! Everything's good. God's good." "Yes. God's good. It's good." Oh, that was me for too many years. Didn't have the ability to communicate. I was like the kid in the psychiatrist's office just sitting there. Because the root of that thing was still in there. Hadn't gotten pulled out yet. So Dr. Matt starts men's prayer. I show up to that. Got all these wounds. But the first week, boom, one got healed up. I go back the next week, boom, another one got healed up. I go back again, boom, another one got healed up. I go back again, boom, another one got healed up. And I kept going and going and going and going. And 52 weeks later, it took 52 or 54 weeks of consecutive men's prayer to knock off a bunch of dust to get down to the root of this thing. And what happened was I started getting really bad anxiety. And I was like, where is this coming from? Like, imagine if I just went out and I went, "You, come up here and tell me your story right now." Imagine what that would feel like inside. You're like, That's what it was like when I would show up at church. Just had this thing like somebody was gonna call on me all the time. It was just like my whole body shaking. And so I show up to men's prayer one morning, and I'm like, I got to get out of here. I don't know what's going on. I just have this overriding anxiety. And this guy walks in late, 75-year-old street evangelist by the name of Art Montgomery. And he's not a regular, you know? He's like, I've only seen him like one time. And he walked in there, and this thing inside me, boom, jump, get out of here. And I just dug my heels in. I go, I'm not going anywhere. The Holy Spirit goes, go talk to him. I'm not talking to him. You talk to him. He goes, I already did. Oh. So I go and I walk up to him. I go, hey, I need to talk to you. And he goes, I've been expecting you. He told me later, the Holy Spirit woke him up at 5 a.m. and said, get to Awakened Church. There's a man there that needs you. And so he's laughing, and then the laugh disappears. And he is so, I've never seen a man more serious in my entire life. And he pierces into my eyes, and he puts his hands on the side of my face, and he goes, what's your name? And my body starts shaking. I feel this thing start ripping around inside of me. My eyes roll back in my head, and I black out. I don't know how much time passed, but when I come to, I'm on the floor like, what just happened? Where am I? What are you doing? Why is my shirt wet? Where are we? And he goes, shh, shh. He leans down and he puts his hand on my chest. Shh, 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 shh. Take 3 deep breaths and repeat after me. Fire, fire, fire. Holy Spirit, fill me with your fire, fire. Fire. And when I said those words, I feel this thing inside me like start to fill this space. And it was like feathers just tickling me, and I started giggling. Yeah, you guys know. Some of you have had this. Yeah, it's kind of weird. You start laughing and you can't stop laughing. And I've laughed for a month straight. I just giggled. And when he pulled me up, I stood up a resurrected man. Man. That thing, God is so good. I was 46 years old. 6 years old I was when that thing entered me, and I said, Holy Spirit, how did that thing get in me? And he goes, it was from your dad's side of the family. Your grandpa's family left Nazi Germany for their lives. Came to America, came into New York. My dad's born here, 17 years old, his dad dies. Spirit of rejection, spirit of fear. Then he goes off to Vietnam. To this day, he'd never say a word about it. Don't ask me about it, I don't want to talk about it. The things that he saw, the things that he had to do there, fear gripped him. Then when I was almost 6 years old, my parents split and divorced. The fear, the uncertainty, the regret, the shame, all of that, whoosh, thing shows up in my bedroom, waiting for me. But how many know this house? It's a curse-breaking house. Curse-breaking house. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. And I can't even tell you how different my life is in the last 6 years. I mean, it's just been like rocket fuel acceleration since that day. But I want you guys to know. In fact, let's just close our eyes for a minute. Everybody just take a big, deep breath. Jesus, you said that you would never leave us or forsake us. thank you that you're here right now. And your word says that we can take all of our cares and cast them upon you. That your yoke is light, and your burden is light, your yoke is easy. And we take you on that word. We know you're not a man to lie. So Jesus, we just take everyone and everything from today and we give it to you. Every argument, every stress, every anxiety, every fear, every worry, every doubt, all of it. Just hand it over to you. Thank you that you take it gladly. Jesus, reconnect with my heart right now. Connect with me. Holy Spirit, thank you that you connect with my heart right now. That I can get myself out of the way to make room and space for you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, thank you that you sent your Son. We are eternally grateful. Now, if you're here in this room tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're saying tonight's the night, because it is. Tonight's your night. If that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, would you raise your hand for me so I can see who I can pray with? Thank you. I see you. Yeah, thank you. I see you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. I see you. Right on, brother. Welcome. I know there's more. I can feel you. I can feel you. Thank you. There you are. There we are. Eternity's on the line. He's going to come in and he's going to fill you up tonight. Church, repeat after me with everybody, all our new believers. Father God, thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross and to raise again on this Easter so that I can have eternity with you. Amen.
Wow. What an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.